Good morning, Every Nation Church, Penang. Yeah, that's a lot. That's the energy. Okay, so as we are now in the last and final week of our series of the ability to produce wealth. So today we will be culminating everything that we have learned for the past 3 weeks into this last message. Okay, so week one, we did a charge to obey. In the next one, with a charge to remember. Third, last week, Brother Casey preached about a charge to trust. And today, we're going to have our fourth and final message, which is a charge to stay on the mission. Are we on the mission of acquiring the ability to produce wealth and be a good steward of it? Extending the blessings to others for them to experience it. Our text will be found in Deuteronomy 8 verse 10 and Deuteronomy 9 verse 1 to 6. And this passage is a chiasm. So I really like when pastor asked me, this is a chiasm. What does chiasm mean? It's like I'm already thinking, I've never heard this a thing before, chiasm. So when I studied it, when I was studying the message, it was something that it's like you're hearing things at an ABC, and then you will hear it again in a CBA. It's like it's a repetition. A lot of chapters in the Bible is like that. So you will see that A, B, C, the points, and then after a few verses, it will be a C, B, A again. So that is chiasm. So now, let's all stand as we give reverence to the word of the Lord this morning. Let's all read in Deuteronomy 9, verse 4 to 5. Let's all read. Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me to possess the land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go into to possess the land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out before you, that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, that you are teaching us, O Lord God, about and reminding us how it is, O Lord God, reminding us, Lord, how to produce wealth. You're reminding us that you are the one giving us the ability, Lord, to produce wealth. And Lord, I pray, anoint my lips, O Lord God, as I preach to your children, O Lord God. I pray, O Lord God, that they will hear, Lord God, your message clearly, O Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit, O Lord God, be upon us, O Lord God, so that we could understand your words, O Lord God, to the exactness of the message you want me to deliver today, O Lord God. And I pray, O Lord God, that we will have a different perspective, O Lord God, about wealth when we leave this church today, O Lord God, and be a blessing to the people around us. We commit to you, Lord, this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's sit now. Okay, you might be asking, what is the series objective of the what we're learning? So the church will remember that God confirms his covenant by giving us the power to make wealth so that we can be a blessing to communities and nations. I underline the word covenant here. And because God wants you to be blessed, but not on your own, that your pockets will be bulky. You have beautiful cars, okay? But the Lord wants you to see that the Lord has the ability to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. Now, you might be asking, what is a covenant? You, maybe some of you are lawyers here, okay? You know that whenever you're entering an agreement, you need a contract. Contract is about an agreement between two people. And most of the time, what happens to that? There's always a breach of contract and you have to go to the courts because there is a breach of contract. But a covenant is different. A covenant is about an agreement that God makes with us in which He guarantees to fulfill in His promises. And there are four famous covenants there, the Noah covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Israelite covenant, and the King David covenant. Sadly, because of the imperfectness of us humans, those covenants were broken. But it was fulfilled when Jesus Christ came. Now, you will see here that He remembers His covenant forever. Psalms 105, verse 8 to 5. He remembers His covenant forever. It means God doesn't charge you with a breach of contract. He remembers them. The covenant which He made with Abraham, with His oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. The covenant that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is an everlasting covenant. Now, you might be asking, this is Old Testament. Am I eligible to have a blessing in this covenant? You might be asking, this is Old Testament time. It's 500 years ago. More than 500 years ago. The answer is yes. You are entitled to this covenant. Why? And you will see here in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, this is the actual covenant that God made to Abraham. Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Take note of that word. You shall be a blessing. Okay? And then I will bless you who bless, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is the covenant that God made with Abraham. The question is, are we entitled? The answer is yes. Why? Let's go back to our Romans series, Romans chapter 4. You will see there. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all His offspring. We are all seeds of Abraham. Because of the faith that you have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you are guaranteed as an offspring. You can claim this covenant that God has promised to Abraham. And then in Galatians 2, 8, verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offsprings, heirs according to the promise. Imagine that blessing. You are going to inherit the promised land as well. We are going to inherit the promised land as well. Now you will see here in Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant by which He swore to your ancestor, that is today. It is God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. No, in the Old Testament times, being wealthy is not having money. Being wealthy is having servants. Being wealthy is having land. Being wealthy is having cattle, livestock. having grains, those are the measurement of wealth in the olden times. But you will see here, if you will fast forward it, the measure of wealth now is what? Money, cars, investments. But when I was looking here, when I was studying this one, God gives you the ability to produce wealth. And that wealth is something that you can hold. So it means you need also to be wealthy socially. You have to be healthy with your health, which is mental, physical, and spiritual. And you need to be time wealthy as well to be financially wealthy. They are all in one accord. It means that the Lord summarized everything already that God wants you to produce wealth. You cannot produce wealth if you are sick. You cannot. You cannot produce wealth if you don't have that time. You cannot produce wealth if you don't have connections of friends. Everything in your circle, the Lord wants you to produce wealth. Now, when I was having my devotion this morning, I was reviewing this message. The Lord opened me to this verse, a verse that is earlier, 8 verse 9 says, "A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing." God wants you to put you in a promised land as well, that there will be no scarcity. That everything that you need will be provided. Are you in that situation right now? Amen. I have one there. Two there. Okay. Three. So how about the others? Later I will challenge you more, okay? So be prepared. All right, so our topic today. Now here is our topic. The question is how to stay on the mission. And that mission is to honor God. How to honor God with that mission. God has given you the ability to produce wealth. How can you stay on that mission? Hey, let's dissect this one. So step one, how to stay on mission. Bless the Lord with your wealth. Deuteronomy 8:10 says, "When you have eaten and full, then you shall bless God for the good land which He has given you." The land is flowing with milk and honey. The Lord is reminding us, when the Lord blesses you, what happens to you? Pastor is always preaching about the four T's. Time, talent, treasure, temple. Time. When God blesses you with ample time, what do you do with your ample time? Are you blessing the Lord with your time? Maybe you can create a pie chart of your time schedule for the day. How many percentage of that time in 24 hours do you bless the Lord? You give Him exclusively Him alone. The 24 hours is the Lord's. Everything is the Lord's. And when you bless the Lord, stewardship comes in. Are we good with stewards of our time? Are we giving exclusive time to the Lord so that He could speak to us, you could speak to Him in your morning devotion? Next one, talent. The Lord can bless you with talent. Are you using that talent for the Lord's glory? Are you giving your talent to the Lord? It may not be singing. It may not be being in a worship team. It can be as simple as being an usher. It can be as simple as being a life group member. Are you giving that or doing things for the Lord's glory? Are you giving that talent to the Lord? Treasure. Now, this is a challenge for some of us. When the Lord blesses you with a lot of treasure, do you still do your tithing? Do we tithe? Every earning, do you tithe? I will give you one. I always do something in the internet. If you are my friends in the internet, in Facebook, I will always find things that are cheap in the Facebook marketplace. I would always do that. Okay? You might be asking, how is it possible that AJ always finds something and then turns it into gold? Okay? So there's one time that I found this rims. Very bad looking rims. 100 ringgit, 4 pieces. Okay? Work on it for 2 to 3 days. Flipped it again for 400. And then other things I still find, and then flip it again. I profit around times 400%. But there is one secret there. Every earning that I get there, I put tithes. Every earning, sometimes I sell sausages. Every percentage of it, I give it to the Lord back, and it rolls over and rolls over. I don't count it as loss because I'm giving to the Lord. If you train yourselves to tithe in a small way, in a small salary, I'm telling you, I started in the Philippines when I got married and have children. My first child, Rain. My salary in the Philippines is 850 ringgit for the whole month. The Lord trained me to tithe on those small areas. Now, the Lord has blessed me. I'm still tithing the same. Are you a good steward of the Lord's treasure? Not just monetary. Your house. Is it welcoming other people so that they could hear the word of God? Your car. Is your car just there just to drive? Or are you using that car to glorify God? The Lord will bless you if you know how to be a good steward of those blessings. And that's what God wants us to learn. And temple. Temple is not just church. It is you, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are you using your body to bless the Lord? Or are you still drinking? Are you still smoking? Are you having these vices that the Lord detests? And you are not honoring God. You're not blessing God. You are not good. You're not a good steward of His temple. So that's what God is telling us. Bless the Lord God with your wealth. Step 2. Focus on God's promises and not on the challenges. Now, this is an attitude building part. Imagine. Okay, hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go into into disposes nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, descendants of Anakim, whom you know and whom you heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Okay, now if you will look at the background, Anakites are the ones, are angels who fell in love with God's creation. And then they had children, and those children became so big. Okay, those are Anakins. Now, sometimes, right, as we go in life, you will see big problems. How do you see those big problems in life? Does it make your faith small? Or does it give you the opportunity to rely on God more? You will see in Numbers 4, 6 to 8 says, this is the account of Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, okay, son of Jephunneh. And in verse 7, you will see, the land we pass through to spy it out is exceedingly a good land. But the 10 other spies says, what did they see? We're going to be crushed like grasshoppers. They are so big. Church, when you see challenges in your lives coming in and it's facing you, do you see the problems bigger, or do you see that God has a bigger promise to you that is beyond that you are currently facing? Do you see God bigger than you, than all of those problems combined? Or do you rely on yourself and heads on, you are facing that problem alone? That's a different story. Every day when I start working, currently this year is a very challenging year for me as a teacher. I'm teaching from nursery to year 6. But God is telling me, rely on Him. As I start my day, I will kneel on my office chair and pray, commit everything to the Lord. Every day, I will do that. Because I see that the promise is bigger than all the problems combined. That's what God wants you to see. Which of the following Christians are you? Are you trying so hard to push and solve your problems in life? Or are you someone who is constantly looking at the promises of God and you don't mind if you have a big problem or not, because you know that your God is capable of rescuing you? Step 3. Understand that the Lord fights your battles. This one of my most favorite points, because there's a lot of characters in the Bible that relied on the Lord to fight his battles. And you will see here, Deuteronomy 9:3, therefore understand today that the Lord your God is He who goes over before you. As a consuming fire, He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord said to you. You see here the word understand, that the Lord your God goes before you. Imagine that. You are facing a problem so big, and yet the Lord is the one protecting you in front of you. That's why it's very important that even driving, who among you here prays before you drive? How about the others? Do you pray before you drive? Because when you pray before you drive, When you pray before you leave your house, you're asking the Lord to be before you. Praise the Lord, 7 years here in Malaysia. Just got one mishap, one small accident. It's not my fault. But all these years, no accident. The Lord has protected every time I drive. Train yourselves, small steps, small baby steps. That you're asking the Lord to be with you, in front of you, who fights your battles. You know, here, in as we continue here, only in Numbers 14, verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Whenever you are facing a lot of problems in life, the Lord is telling you, do not fear. 365 times, you can have one verse per day telling you, the Lord is reminding you, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. God is with us. You know, when David was battling Goliath, slingshot, 3 stones, but he knows that his God is bigger than Goliath. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat. What's the Lord's instruction? Musicians in front of the army. Your front line? Musicians? King Jehoshaphat understands that the Lord is with them. I don't mind if that is a one crazy battle tactic, but it works because he trusts in the Lord. The Lord is with them, and that is what God wants you to see. The Lord is with you. The Lord gives you the victory in all the battles in life, and you don't need to be afraid. Step 4, be humble and acknowledge God always. One of the things that we people are having difficulty is that when the Lord blesses you, what happens? Your head becomes big. You are now growing apples underneath your armpits. Your heart is becoming proud. You are what? You are becoming arrogant. God is telling us, do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me to possess this land. But it is because the wickedness of this nation that the Lord is driving them out before you. So the Lord is reminding us that when the Lord blesses you, it is not because of you. It is because the Lord wants to bless you. And when the Lord blesses you, God is reminding you to be humble and acknowledge God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What? And next in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. The Lord has the ability to bless us more than you could ever think or imagine. But being in a mission to honor God with that wealth, you have to acknowledge Him, because you will not get swayed. You will not get lost, because He will direct your path. You acknowledge God, small, big, minute blessings, you acknowledge God. I remember when the first time last year, our school had an art exhibition. It's the first time I conducted an art exhibition throughout the whole school. I remember after that art exhibition, I emailed all of my colleagues, but the first sentence there is, I thank God for giving me the wisdom. I emailed all my colleagues. It doesn't matter if what's their religion. I just emailed them. I thank the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior for blessing me with this opportunity to hold this art exhibition. And then blah, blah, blah. Then after that, I thank all of my colleagues. You acknowledge God, big or small. Now, this has always been an example of my dad whenever he is preaching. I know whenever my dad was preaching when I was young, I would always sleep. I was always sleepy whenever my dad preaches. But he will always tell this story. And I until now, I still remember it. All right. You know paddy fields, right? When you plant paddy fields, it's straight. And as it produces more grains and it becomes gold, what happens? It bows down. Made this an example. Remember this example, because as the Lord blesses you more and more, more and more, He wants you to stoop down and be more humble, like this paddy fields. You acknowledge God. God will bless you because God wants you to be a blessing to a lot of people. If you remember the prayer of Jabez, bless me so that I can be a blessing to a lot of to the people, to enlarge my tent, enlarge my territory, so that I can be a blessing to other people. That is what God wants you to do. As your blessings increase, the Lord is telling you, be more humble, be more giving. And step 6 says, trust in the Lord, for He fulfills His promise. You will see here in verse 5, He may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you will see in verse 6, therefore understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Imagine that, stiff-necked. Sometimes you are stiff-necked, right? Sometimes you are hard-headed as well. Stubborn. Most of the time. But God is telling us, you are being blessed not because you are righteous. We are being blessed not because you are what? You are doing good. You are being blessed because it is part of the promise that God has given to Abraham. And that we, as Christians, know where that wealth comes from. It is not your ability. It is God who gives you the ability. It is God who gives you the time. It is God who gives you the opportunity. It is God who gives us the breakthrough to produce wealth. Now, as I summarize today's message, now, step 1, bless the Lord with your wealth. Step 2, focus on God's promises and not on the challenges. Step 3, understand that the Lord fights your battles. Step 4, be humble and acknowledge God always. And step 5, trust in the Lord, for He fulfills His promises. Take note, that covenant is everlasting. Cannot be destroyed. Cannot be broken. That is how faithful our God is. Now, as I close today's message, where are you now in your journey to the promised land? I want you to reflect. Where are you now? Are you still someone in around here, this area, Egypt? You might be someone that you still don't know who Jesus Christ is, and that you and God has in store for you a very beautiful journey to the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 12 says, verse 9 says, as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over that Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, He will give you rest from all your enemies round about, that is, so that you dwell in safety. Imagine that. The promised land is just until while we are still in earth. But God has something in store for us in heaven that is way beyond our imagination, more than our minds could ever think of. And God wants you to be on that final land where God will put us all as one nation under the authority of Jesus Christ. And you will see here, are you still in Egypt where you don't know that the Lord has a very beautiful plan for you, and you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there anybody here who wants to accept Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior? Or are you someone here around this area, wilderness, 40 years you're asking the Lord, Lord, bless me with a breakthrough. Bless me, Lord, with a breakthrough. You have done a lot of things. You have done everything, but you still don't have that breakthrough, and you're still living in scarcity. Why? Remember the first 3 weeks. You need to obey first. You need to remember, and you need to trust God. You might be 40 years, but it can only take you 40 days or just one day to have that breakthrough. If you surrender everything to the Lord and you start obeying, you start remembering, you start trusting the Lord. Or are you here near the promised land and you're there? Oh, it's very near, but you don't know how to trust God. God is telling you, trust Him. Trust Him so that you could get that step to the promised land where there is no scarcity, that everything will be provided. Or are you in that promised land already living there? Then the Lord is telling you to stay on that mission. God is reminding you to stay on that mission to be a blessing. The Lord will bless you, and He wants you to be a good steward of your blessing, to be a blessing so that others will know Christ through your life by being a blessing to other people. Because one day, we will meet our Lord and we will be in the land where there's no more sickness. All have everlasting life. It's only through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's all stand up as we close. Thank you, Lord God, for this day that you have given us. You have reminded us today, Lord God, to stay on the mission, oh Lord God. To honor you, Lord God, with our wealth. To honor you, Lord, with our lives. And I pray, O Lord God, we continue, Lord, to surrender our hearts to you. For you alone, O Lord God, we acknowledge you, Lord, as the only one who gives us the ability, O Lord God, to produce wealth. And I pray, O Lord God, as we stay in this earth that you have given us, Lord, I pray that we would experience your promised land, O Lord God. And that as we experience that promised land, O Lord God, I pray that we would be good stewards, O Lord God, to be a blessing to people that is around us so that they may see that you are living in us, O Lord God, and shared the good news of Jesus Christ to others. I pray, O Lord God, bless this church. And as we close today, O Lord God, instill in our hearts, O Lord God, this message that you have given us today so that we can honor you and make disciples. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.